has reached epidemic proportions in America. I'm Dr. Paul Christo. This is Aches and Gains.
Dr. Paul Christo is one of America's leading experts on relieving pain. He's board-certified, Harvard-trained, and a pain medicine specialist at Johns Hopkins. U.S. News and World Report ranks him as a top doctor and among the top 1% in the nation for pain management. Becker's Review selected him as one of the 70 best pain management physicians in America. He's listed as a super doctor for the Washington, D.C., Baltimore, Northern Virginia area. Aches and Gains is a weekly talk show covering all aspects of pain and pain relief. The human impact is real. Older adults, children, and even infants struggle to cope with pain. But there's hope, and there are treatments that can ease pain and suffering. The show offers compelling stories about people who've found relief. We share cutting-edge treatments from contributing experts, and we offer ways to help people cope with their pain.
Welcome to the show. Did you know that post-operative pain that lingers is often neglected? I mean, in fact, pain continues in half of patients having chest wall surgery, called a thoracotomy, amputation, or breast surgery. This contributes to the alarming number of Americans suffering from chronic pain, one out of every three. And across the globe, the World Health Organization estimates that pain threatens to condemn one out of every 10 of us alive today to die a painful death. I mean, those are staggering numbers, and it's pretty frightening. The good news is this. We're realizing that one way to prevent chronic pain is to block its transmission during and after surgery. In fact, one study reports that using epidurals and specific nerve blocks may prevent chronic pain in about 25% of patients. The technical term for epidurals, spinals, and nerve blocks is called regional anesthesia. We can block nerves in the arms and legs, block the spinal cord, and block tiny nerves in the skin, all with local anesthetics. On our show, Jonathan Poinsett, a 29-year-old Army veteran who shattered his heel bone, describes a near painless post-operative experience in the hospital and then at home with a tiny catheter placed along his sciatic nerve. Then Dr. Mike Boutros from Washington University School of Medicine and director of acute pain at Barnes Jewish Hospital shares cutting-edge information about how he can prevent a lifetime of pain after surgery using regional anesthesia.
Aches and Gains is supported by Medtronic, Purdue Pharma, Teva Pharmaceuticals, Millennium Laboratories, Atlantis Health Group, Boston Scientific, and DepoMed Incorporated. For live online listening to Aches and Gains, please go to paulchristomd.com. To access podcasts of the show, please go to paulchristomd.com. If you have any questions or comments for Dr. Christo, please email him at achesandgains@gmail.com.
Jonathan Poinsett shattered his left heel in a motor vehicle accident. He had not only one, but two extensive surgeries. The second one, though, was much different from the first. Let's find out why. Jonathan, welcome to Aches and Gains.
Thanks for having me, Doc.
What originally happened to your left ankle?
I was in a car accident, hit a tree.
Mm.
My left calcaneus was pretty much shattered.
Wow.
I went to the hospital. They put a plate with 8 screws in my calcaneus and didn't heal right.
Okay.
So then I had another surgery, and they took all the hardware out and took bone from my knee and 2 additional screws and put it in there, and it's been healing ever since.
So you mentioned that you fractured or shattered the calcaneus. The calcaneus is the heel bone. And Jonathan, were you put to sleep during the first surgery?
Yes, I had general anesthesia. I was put out, and I don't know how long the surgery was. It was probably about 6 hours.
Well.
And then I stayed about 3 nights in the hospital on the first operation.
Now, that's pretty extensive. How did the first surgery go?
The first surgery was horrendous.
Mm-hmm.
I almost lost my foot, to be exact.
Wow.
The pain, you know, was pretty intense.
I can imagine. What did you use for pain control?
Oxycodone, pain pills, ibuprofen.
Okay. Well, you know, during the second surgery then, the doctors, the anesthesiologists, talked to you about blocking your sciatic nerve, which provides sensation to the back of the thigh and the entire leg and foot below the knee. They talked to you about blocking this nerve and placing a little tube around that nerve called a catheter. Why was that even discussed?
They said that it would take a lot of the pain away so they wouldn't have to use narcotics after the surgery.
Absolutely. But, you know, some of my patients have said to me that they're afraid of nerve damage by the needle or the catheter. Were you?
No, not at all. I wanted something that was going to be less harder on me after the surgery. You know what I mean? Because, you know, there, I was off my foot for so long.
Right.
Because I just didn't want to go through that long-term pain. No narcotics whatsoever did I take after my second surgery.
Wow, that's incredible. And you have a great perspective because you had surgery with general anesthesia the first time, and then the second time you had surgery with what's called regional anesthesia and the catheter. Let me ask you, pretend that we're back with you just before surgery. Talk to us about how the doctors perform the actual nerve block and placement of the catheter.
Yeah, you're on your side and they stick the needle in. It's almost like getting a flu vaccine or something, you know. It's mm-hmm. really not painful at all.
Right.
I believe they used a, ultrasound?
Yeah.
Yeah, they put gel in your skin and then they find a nerve and it you really don't feel much at all. By that time, you're already on your first dose of whatever they give you to, you know, keep your calm and keep your nerves down. You know, by that time, you're not even really feeling much. You know what I mean?
I do. I mean, most of us give a drug called Versed, which is like intravenous Valium, to help relax patients while we perform these procedures. Jonathan, what did your leg feel like after they injected the local anesthetic? I mean, did it feel heavy? Was it numb?
Yeah, it's just like dead weight. It's you know, you can pinch it, you can feel the pressure there, but you can't feel the, you know, the pain mm-hmm. of it. You know, if somebody were to pinch it, you can't feel the actual pinch, but you can feel the pressure. It's kind of hard to explain. It's like having your lips numb at the dentist.
Exactly. We have to take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk to Jonathan about what his experience was like with the catheter during and after surgery. I'm Dr. Paul Christo, and you're listening to Aches and Gains.
Aches and Gains is supported by Medtronic, the global leader in medical technology, alleviating pain, restoring health, and extending life for millions of people around the world. Teva, the leading global pharmaceutical company, committed to increasing access to high-quality healthcare by developing, producing, and marketing affordable generic medicines, as well as innovative and specialty pharmaceuticals. Millennium Laboratories, a leader in the science of toxicology and pharmacogenetics, is transforming the way healthcare professionals monitor and manage their patients' medication therapy. Through the use of advanced technology supported by research and education, Millennium helps practitioners personalize care for patients. For more information, please visit www.millenniumlabs.com.
And we're back. Jonathan, talk to us about what your experience was like during and after the surgery with the catheter.
It's not bad at all. It was like an IV.
Mm-hmm.
They tape it up. Yeah, it was pumping throughout the whole operation. And then after the operation for about 3 or 4 days, I had it hooked up to me.
Okay. Now, your surgery you mentioned before was about 4 hours long. Did you get any type of narcotics or anti-inflammatory medications or any opioids after that extensive surgery?
They gave me Tylenol through the IV.
Uh-huh.
That was it. I promise you. I've had other surgeries where I've had to turn to pain medicines and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I wanted this one to be different, you know what I mean?
I do, and it certainly was different in a very positive way for you. The catheter, actually, is pretty tiny. It's about 3 inches long and half the thickness, that is half the diameter of a toothpick. And Jonathan, this catheter then is hooked up to a ball called a cue ball, inside of which is local anesthetic. What does it look like exactly?
There was like this little plastic cover
mm-hmm.
that you lifted up, and you could turn the knob, and it would release a certain amount of, the medicine that's in the ball.
Mm-hmm. So you can control the amount of local anesthetic that you receive.
You could. You could control it yourself.
Right, but at the same time, it runs continuously.
Yes, and I just left it the way the nurse had it when I left the hospital.
Sure. You know, give us a sense as to how much relief this catheter and the regional anesthetic actually provided you after the surgery.
I would say it works about 70, 80%.
Wow.
I was real comfortable. Yeah, I was out in a day.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't believe that. A lot of the nurses that worked in that hospital couldn't believe that I just had that kind of foot operation and not need anything else for the pain.
That's wonderful. When did the catheter come out? I mean, when you were at home, and how did you get it out?
2 days. A woman said, 2 days, this will probably be out. And I said, okay. I just took the tape. You know, as a matter of fact, the tape sticking to my hair hurt worse than, you know, pulling it out. So just pulling the tape out off your side, and then, you know, you just pull it out.
Was it painful?
No, not at all. It slipped right out. I was surprised.
Did you have any complications?
No, not at all.
That's great. Jonathan, overall, How much of a difference did having this regional anesthetic catheter have on your life?
It's a great day when you're not, you know, in that much pain to where you can sleep.
Right.
Because that's one of the key things in recovery is, you know, get rest.
Very, very important and often very difficult to do after surgery. And finally, if we need surgery, what should all of us know about having blocks, like the one you had?
It did what I wanted it to do, you know, which was not have to, you know, be on pain medicine for 4 months.
Right.
I'm just glad that I don't have to take a pain pill for it.
Right. And do you feel there's any reason to be afraid?
I don't think they should be any more scared. You telling them, well, we're going to give you a pain block or we're going to, you know, you're going to be on pain medicine for 3 months. I would take the pain block. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. You used crutches for several months. How are you now? I mean, can you walk without them?
Yes, I can walk without crutches. But I was on crutches for a long time from April all the way from March till October. I was on crutches.
Good to hear. Jonathan, I want to thank you very much for joining us today on Aches and Gains.
Hey, thanks for having me, Doc.
Up next is Dr. Mike Boutros, the founding director of the Acute Pain Service at Barnes Jewish Hospital in St. Louis and assistant professor in anesthesiology and pain medicine at the Washington University School of Medicine. I'm Dr. Paul Christo, and you're listening to Aches and Gains.
Aches and Gains is supported by Purdue Pharma, making a positive impact on healthcare and on lives. Reminding everyone to safeguard medications in their home. Atlantis Health Group. Atlantis is a comprehensive multi-specialty physician group committed to enhancing the quality and process of healthcare delivery across the country. Visit AtlantisHG.com. Boston Scientific, a leader in microelectric implantable technologies used to treat chronic neuropathic pain.
Dr. Mike Boutros is an assistant professor in anesthesiology and pain medicine at Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis, Missouri. He's the founding director of the Acute Pain Service at Barnes Jewish Hospital in St. Louis. Dr. Boutros, welcome to Aches and Gains.
Thank you very much, Paul.
Let's start by talking about what we mean by regional anesthesia to control pain during surgery and afterwards.
Regional anesthesia typically entails using either an epidural or a spinal technique, or we can perform a nerve block and isolate certain nerves and then inject some local anesthetics to numb those nerves, usually in the upper or the lower extremity. So for things like shoulder surgery, we can numb the brachial plexus, an area around the neck, and that way we can numb up the arm, for example. Or for knee surgery, we can block the femoral nerve in the leg and numb up the knee so that the patient wouldn't feel the surgery around that area.
That's a great summary. And for our listeners, when would a patient benefit from regional anesthesia, that is one of the techniques that you just described, versus general anesthesia or inducing a state of unconsciousness with anesthetic gases?
They would benefit in terms of pain control, number one. So they wouldn't have as much pain during the procedure. And if they use a catheter technique, which is a small tube that's placed next to that nerve that can give continuous numbing medicine, then it can be used after the surgery to help control a patient's pain for a day or several days afterwards. So it can also be used for postoperative pain control.
Exactly. Now let's talk about why a patient would choose one of these regional anesthetic techniques, like, you know, like a nerve block, over general anesthesia where they're completely unconscious.
You know, a lot of patients will come in and have repeat surgery and will have had, a general anesthesia for the first one. And then the surgeon might recommend having that regional anesthesia technique because they know it's going to be a little bit more involved and a little bit more painful.
Yeah.
The patient will tell you that they had a better experience because they had that regional technique than having just a plain general.
Well, Dr. Boutros, we know then that the patient experience is better intraoperatively, but what about pain relief postoperatively?
I mean, especially if they had a catheter, that tube with the numbing medicine around the nerve that's left in for several days, they'll definitely tell you that they didn't feel as nauseated, they didn't feel as groggy. Pain medications can cause constipation, and that's one of the big factors that we look at after surgery because if your bowels are stopped up, it can increase your chances of nausea. It can also increase the potential length of stay in the hospital. Having a means of avoiding a lot of pain medications by providing a different technique can actually really expedite that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's a big advantage. You know, Mike, I've had patients who say they are scared to death about having any needles around their spinal cord or the nerves in their body. I mean, they're worried about possible spinal cord damage or nerve damage. But in reality, you know, how likely is damage or these types of complications likely to occur?
Just the idea of having a needle around nerves is would, you know, for me would be enough to be very nerve-wracking.
Mm-hmm.
But I sit down with them and I explain to them, hey, this isn't something new. We haven't invented this in the last couple of years.
Right.
This is stuff that we've been doing for decades.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one. And that usually actually helps allay a lot of fears, because a lot of people are worried when this is something new. They're always concerned that as much as we're on the cutting edge of certain things, they don't want to be the first patient to undergo something like
that.
No,
absolutely. I mean, nor would I. But what are the figures? I mean, what does the data show?
The risk of nerve damage is anywhere from 1 to 1,000 to 1 in 100,000.
Uh-huh.
It's a huge range, but it's because they're looking at all comers, anything from epidurals to individual nerves that are being blocked. And the risk of even longer-lasting problems is even rarer.
Uh-huh.
So having significant neurological damage is anywhere from 1 in 50,000 to 1 in 150,000.
Right.
I think a lot of people hear these urban myths about things that have happened to, you know, such and such person's a friend or something, and now they have permanent damage. But that's a very rare occurrence. Most people are actually scared of the thought of having it than actually experiencing the procedure. Once it's over, they're like, wow, this wasn't that bad.
Exactly. I mean, that's my experience as well. The fact is that nerve damage is highly unlikely to occur. But what's scary is the risk of developing chronic pain after surgery. And actually, post-operative pain that just doesn't go away is often neglected despite its high severity and high prevalence. I mean, pain lingers. What we know is that pain lingers in 50% of patients months after having chest wall surgery, called a thoracotomy, amputation, or breast surgery.
Absolutely. If a patient's pain is not well controlled after surgery, we know that they have a higher risk of developing chronic pain.
Uh-huh.
And so it behooves us to make sure that these patients are comfortable after surgery. It wasn't until I got into the specific area of pain medicine that I came to the realization that it is a much bigger problem than a lot of us really think it is.
Absolutely. I think it's critical for patients, surgeons, and anesthesiologists to all realize what the data say, that one of the most important ways to prevent acute pain from becoming chronic pain is to ensure good post-operative pain control. Mike, is it more important to have pain controlled during surgery or after surgery with respect to preventing the development of a lifetime of pain?
Having your pain controlled just in the perioperative period. So it doesn't necessarily have to be before surgery, but as long as you're controlling the pain either at the end of surgery or during your time in your hospital while you're recovering,
mm-hmm.
that it's just as good as if you were trying to prevent it from occurring in the first place.
Yeah, and speaking about preventing pain and the development of chronic pain, a recent study reported that using epidurals and regional anesthesia may prevent chronic pain after a thoracotomy, which is an incision into the chest to access the lung, and breast surgery in about 25% of patients.
And I think that a lot of the surgeons are now realizing this, and they are advocating for these types of techniques, and they're making it part of their post-operative pain care path.
Mm-hmm.
These techniques are doing more than just pain control.
Yeah.
They're an important and an integral part of what we call enhanced recovery after surgery programs.
Okay.
It's like epidurals, for example. We know that they help improve bowel function.
Mm-hmm.
And if we put an epidural and we use it during surgery, especially for surgery around the abdomen, you know, patients experience less nausea, less vomiting, less grogginess, less constipation.
Yeah.
And you know, these types of epidurals are not the same type of epidurals as what women experience for labor and delivery.
Right.
So they can move their legs. They can participate in physical therapy. And so they're up and about and moving more quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And so they actually end up spending a little bit less time in the hospital.
Right. You know, those are really important points that I'm glad you mentioned. Let's now talk about the ways that anesthesiologists perform these nerve blocks. First, a needle is inserted to locate the area where the nerve is expected to be. We know we're in the right spot when the muscles that these nerves control move. We get the muscles to move by stimulating the nerves with a little bit of electricity, and that's called a nerve stimulator. This confirms correct needle placement for injection of a local anesthetic, like Novocaine, for example. And by the way, many patients feel this isn't painful, but what's your experience?
Most patients will tell you that it's not necessarily painful, but that it's this involuntary contraction of muscles is just a very weird, you know, thing for them to experience. But it's not necessarily that painful at all.
Right, exactly. Now, and less often, we use our knowledge of anatomy to place needles near nerves in order to block them. And finally, and more recently, we're now using ultrasound to guide needles even more accurately. And let's examine that technique.
Usually in that type of situation, they'll feel some cold gel on the skin after they've been sterilely prepped and draped. And then they'll feel a little pinch. That's the needle going in. And the anesthesiologist typically sees the needle in real time as they get close to the set of nerves. Once they get close to those nerves, then they'll make sure, again, they're not close to any blood vessels and inject that numbing medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's any concern or question, is that the nerve, you know, under ultrasound, they might use that stimulator machine.
Exactly. We have to take a break. And when we come back, we'll talk to Dr. Boutros about how much better pain control we can get postoperatively using catheters. I'm Dr. Paul Christo, and this is Aches and Gains.
Aches and Gains is supported by DepoMed Incorporated, a specialty pharmaceutical company focused on developing and commercializing products to treat pain and other central nervous system conditions. To access podcasts of the show, please go to paulchristomd.com. That's paulchristomd.com. Follow us on Twitter at @drpaulchristo and like us on Facebook, Aches and Gains.
Welcome back. Mike, we're now placing little tubes called catheters through a needle along nerves so that we can use local anesthetics like Novocaine continuously during surgery and postoperatively. What's the value, though, of using these catheters postoperatively for pain control?
I think that, you know, what we're finding is anywhere from 25 to 50% better. So it's a considerable amount.
That's right. I mean, that's an impressive percentage. Mike, on certain occasions, these catheters remain in place when patients go home.
We found that sending them home with these catheters can help them sort of continue with their physical therapy course and at the same time reduce the amount of need for narcotic medications. So, you know, especially patients who are very sensitive to these medicines, if they get nauseated very easily, then we would definitely ensure that they get home with that kind of a technique.
Mm-hmm. And when are you using them?
Shoulder replacements are one, and knee replacements are another specific area.
Uh-huh.
For the shoulder, they have interscalene catheters. For the knees, we can send them home with saphenous nerve catheters.
Okay, and the interscalene catheters are placed in the neck to block nerves that supply the arm, and the saphenous nerve catheters reduce pain around the knee. And about how long are you leaving these in? A couple of days?
We usually hook them up to a device that's a little ball that releases that numbing medicine at a certain rate that we control.
Right.
Based on the rate that we set it on, it usually lasts about no more than 2 days.
And Mike, do you have patients come back to the hospital for removal?
No, not necessarily. In fact, we'll follow them, you know, over the phone and just make sure that things are doing okay. It's actually not hard at all to remove these catheters. They're just placed several centimeters underneath the skin.
Mm-hmm.
And so all it entails is just removing some tape and then the epidural, or I'm sorry, that catheter will come out very easily.
Right.
And so we're finding that more and more patients are going home with catheters. We have like a home catheter program here.
Mm-hmm. And if you're considering a single nerve block or one of these catheters, then think about the type of surgery that you're having. So if the surgery is involved, and that would be like having a shoulder or joint replacement, then talk to your surgeon, an anesthesiologist, about leaving the catheter in place when you go home. And Dr. Boutros, I want to thank you very much for joining us today on Aches and Gains.
Hey, thank you very much, Paul. I really appreciate it.
The views and opinions expressed in this radio program are solely the views of Dr. Paul Christo and do not necessarily express the views of this radio station and Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine, nor an endorsement by any or all of them of any of its content. This show provides medical information, not advice. Please consult your personal physician before engaging in any course of treatment or use of any of the techniques or products discussed on this show. Discussion of particular uses of products on this show have not been approved by any of the manufacturers of such products. To access podcasts of the show, please go to paulchristomd.com. That's PaulChristoMD.com. Aches and Gains is produced by Tom Blair and Ty Ford. Elsa Langford is the technical consultant and engineer. Dr. Paul Christo is the executive producer. Thanks for listening. This is Aches and Gains with Dr. Paul Christo.